Let's see. Is money the root of all evil? All right. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So no, money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money that becomes the root of all evil. And it's anything that we make an idol, you know, that we allow to be what reigns in our heart instead of God. It could be money, it could be anything, things, possessions that are more important to us. But no, in answer to that, money is not. It's our love of money. Let's see. The second one of this I can't answer because I can't read it. But the first part of it I can. Why did the guard realize after Jesus' death that he was the Messiah? I love that. Surely this was the Son of God. You know, I didn't say anything about that, and I just have to admit that story of the guards, the response is staggering to me. And here's why I would say that. I think they believed that he was Messiah because they never saw a man suffer and respond the way Jesus Christ did. When it says he didn't hurl insults back or revile others, what do you think some of the others did from the cross when they were being killed at people that passed by? But never a man spoke like Jesus. And so what they saw in Jesus was different. He's speaking from the cross. He's, the woman, here's your son. Son, here's your mother. He's caring for his mother, Mary, and putting her in the care of probably John there. And saying things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That just tells you he's different. Here are hardened, callous soldiers who saw death every day, probably. And I'm awed by the fact that men that hard, that callous, can look at Jesus and say, that man's different. So that's what it was all about. Why they saw that is because of Jesus Christ and how he responded to the pain and the suffering and the evil that was inflicted upon him. Now let me say this again. I did make a comment about this in the lesson. How will people see us, and will people see Christ in us when we respond that same way to the cruelty and the evil and the mistreatment by this world? That's my challenge, is to be like Christ when I'm treated that way, the way he was. Because you saw how it affected these men, and it can affect the people in our lives as well. All right, backwards to forward, let's do it this way. Did Paul make light of suffering when he said of momentary light affliction? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction is but for a moment, for it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. No, not at all. In that context, he's comparing this affliction here to the eternity that awaits us with God. And it's like putting it side by side. And he's saying, when you compare whatever suffering, whatever affliction, whatever hardship you endure here, it is nothing when you compare it to the glory of eternity of being with God that awaits. That's what he's saying. Not making light of it, but simply saying compared to eternity, it is light. And y'all have to be impressed with what this man endured, stoned three times, shipwrecked, you know, left for dead. I'm sorry, stoned once outside of Derbe and Lystra, shipwrecked three times, left for dead, in prison, beaten multiple times, scourged. That's a light affliction. It is compared to the eternity that awaits. And I assure you this, when we get there and we look back from eternity with God, I don't even know if light affliction does justice to what we'll think about it at that point when we're there with him forever. Right. Did God command never to pay back evil for evil, diminish it if we think they deserve it and God doesn't seem to take vengeance. Let me see. Did God command never to pay? Does God command payback, never pay back for evil? Yes. Does it diminish it if we think they deserve it? Well, it's not about what we deserve. And it's not about what somebody deserves. It's about what God wants and doing God's will. Whether they deserve it or not, look, let's be honest. Any of you in this room want what you deserve? Anybody? Anybody in here really want what you deserve? I don't. If God gives me what I deserve, I'm done. Okay? So it's not about deserve. It's about glorifying God and doing what's right. And God says, never pay back evil for evil. Vengeance is mine. Leave it in God's hands. Let Him do it. The thing is, He'll get it right. You won't. One, if you do it, you won't, because you're not supposed to take vengeance. But two, you might take it and you might think they deserve it. They may not. You're not God. I'm not God. So what we do is what God said. We trust Him and we don't return evil for evil. All right, we hear it said that Jesus was fully man and fully God on earth. If He was fully God, how can we expect to endure all evil as He did? Didn't He have something we don't? Well, sure, He did have that fact that He was God and He was man. The Bible talks about Him empty Himself in Philippians 2. That's not of His deity, but just the glory that He had with God. And though He was 100% God, He was all man. The Bible says He was flesh and He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He is our high priest who can sympathize with us. He's experienced what we've experienced. He's walked in our shoes or our sandals. He has been through what we've been through. And He's given us the example. And yes, He's God. But let me ask you, do we not have God too? I'm sorry, no head movement. Let me try again. Do we not have God to help us too? Yes, that we absolutely do. I'm not God, but He helps me. Just like He helped Christ. He helps me. He promises me. And He promises you. Every time you need it. Every time. He promises in Hebrews, my grace will be there to help you in time of need. He promises that. And that same book said it's impossible for God to lie. So if He promises grace, and He promises help, and He guarantees you, you can overcome whatever temptation, He'll keep His promise. Remember what He said? Put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you will be able to stand. You will be able to resist. And you will be able to quench the fiery darts of Satan. That's a guarantee of victory. That's a guarantee on God's part of victory. I'm not God, but I sure have His guarantee. I sure have His help. I have His strength. I have His grace. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, I have His armor. I don't need anything else. And neither do you. Yes, He's God. We're not. But we have all the help, all that we need to be and to do what God wants us to do. And He promises that in the Scriptures.